Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button. I am Lauren E. Miller, and I'm going to be your host today. We are alternating, my co-host and I, Dr. Stella, and so she will be taking next week's podcast. The title for today's podcast is actually very newsworthy and timely. I'm going back to my journalism days back in the later 80s. Dating myself here. The title is To Lean Into Lent and Release What Has Mastered You. We have just entered, as of yesterday. I'm recording on Thursday, right after Ash Wednesday. And this is the 40 days that we really take a good look inside the castle. What is going on inside of us? This is the space where the Holy Spirit has authority or not, depending upon our choice to allow God to have more authority than to the circumstances outside of us. So I invite you into this experience to truly lean into Lent. And we're going to explore how to release what has mastered you. The learning objective is to discover what you are enslaved to and learn what to put off and what to put on in order to up your inner peace and connection with the Lord's love for you. When you know yourself to be loved by God, just as you are, you know yourself to be safe. That opens up a portal within our mind to be solution focused versus problem focused. So today, when you walk away from the podcast, it is the desire that you discover what specifically are you enslaved to. And then we're going to focus on some specific scriptures that I've covered before in other podcasts. And as you know, with the Word of God, it is sharper than any double-edged sword. It pierces soul, heart, marrow. It meets you where you are at. So you can read scriptures 1 week later or a day later, and because of your Earth School class that you're taking that day, it will pierce your heart and motivate you and reveal to you different motives within you based on where you're at. That's what's so cool about the scriptures. And our mission here at Edge God In is to champion your human potential in Christ. We use the scriptures to do that, as well as the guidance and aid of the Holy Spirit, along with adult learning methodologies that help you to be able to learn the most effective way and to transfer the learnings into your behavior with the help and guide of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, who is our counselor in life. I'm also going to share with you two recent, meaning within the last decade, conditions that have popped into our radar as a result of the electronic world. And these are conditions to know about so that you can be the boss of your time spent on electronic devices, understanding that there are ramifications if you are not careful. And there are very real conditions that are popping up that we can take action on simply by changing our behavior so that we don't experience these specific situations that I'm going to share in today's podcast. So stick with us today. I will also, as I did in the last podcast, share with you a stress relief technique to help calm your body in the midst of the shiny objects and triggers that surround you. So let's jump in today and see what the Holy Spirit has for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, thank you that you have thought about us today, that you are with us, that you walk with us to teach us to remember what you taught us when you walked this earth. Give us the grace to master our mind, to be able to master those behaviors that are enslaving us, truly robbing us of the fullness of life that you died to give us. The devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking to devour us daily. In your most precious name, we give you more authority than the devil's attempts to thwart the plans that you have for us today. You have mighty works for us to do today. You have plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. So we bind, rebuke, and cast out any attempt by the dark side to thwart your good work in our life. Help us to be attentive. And like Samuel, who spoke that simple phrase that literally opened up the portal of connection between his heart and yours, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We are listening today. What do you want to teach us from the Holy Scriptures? We pray that we'll be changed as a result of being attentive to what the Scriptures say about enslavement, as well as the clearly laying out the pathway for freedom. We want freedom in you, Lord. It is for freedom that you have set us free. Give us the grace to stand firm so that we are not enslaved by the trinkets and shiny objects of the world that directly impact our behavior. We are your ambassadors. Make your appeal through us today. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's jump in to Colossians chapter 3. This is a chapter I feel as if we can't read enough because it is packed full of incredible, simple directives that lead us into freedom. So Colossians 3 is a place we're going to really have a deeper dive in today. And before we jump in there, I just want to mention one other scripture, 2 Peter 2:19. This is a powerful one to commit to memory. For a man is enslaved by whatever has mastered him. A man is enslaved by whatever has mastered him. My coaching question to you today, as you have come across this podcast, there are no coincidences. What has enslaved you? Lent is the opportunity to release ourselves from those behaviors and those things that block our intimacy with Christ. It is to be a time metaphorically similar to when Jesus went into the desert for 40 days. Moses was in the desert for 40 days, for 40 years. Jesus was in the desert for 40 days. 40 days is very symbolic. And it gives us that opportunity to truly reflect on specific areas of temptation in our lives that have spilled into our behavior and are robbing us from that freedom that Christ died to give us. Galatians 5:1, one of our foundational verses at edgegodin.com podcast ministries is, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm and don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. So Lent is the time to really up your game, your participation, your collaborative participation in releasing those behaviors that are enslaving you, and you are mastered by whatever is enslaving you. So how do you pick out those specific behaviors? When you say a phrase like, I just can't help myself, know that you're enslaved. Something has mastered you. When you say the phrase, I just can't help myself, that's a clear indication that something has mastered you. So what is it for you today that's mastered you? Perhaps it's gossip that's mastered you. I just can't help myself. I have to add my opinion in situations. Really? That's worthy of your contemplation and attention. You are the one with the clippers. And what I mean by that is I'm a gardener and I go out in throughout the growing season and I clip. I clip off dead branches. I clip off dead blooms. Why do I do that? Because every time that I clip off a dead bloom or a dead branch, that energy from the original source that was being wasted on that dead plant or dead limb or branch or bloom is now shifted back to the source, the life source that allows more blooms to happen in life. So Lent is an incredible time to prune for growth, to really ask the Holy Spirit, what behavior do you want me to do less of today than I did yesterday? What can I give up to create more space for intimacy with you, Lord, these next 40 days? What is that going to look like for me? I brought this question before the Lord, and a couple things came to my mind instantly. Complaining just popped in right away. What? Complaining? We don't complain, right? Are you a complainer? That has mastered you. Has complaining mastered you? Are you enslaved by complaining? It's a powerful one to think about. For me, that's something that the Holy Spirit put on my heart. Give up the complaining. Make more room instead of complaining for praising, for committing your heart to mine in situations. Rather than complaining about it, come to me. Erase and replace. Have your first response be, what do you want me to do in this situation, Lord? It's an undesirable situation. I'm not happy about it. And I don't want to complain about it. So I come to you. Give me the grace to know what to do moving forward so that I glorify your name. Complaining comes from a place of self-focus. Things aren't turning out the way you want them to. When we live in a place of faith, faith-based living, we know the truth of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, who trust in his purposes, seek his face, dwell in his presence, as we learned in the previous podcast, Psalm 91. Dwelling in God, making God our refuge, our fortress, the one we go to in the midst of difficult situations. So for me, it was complaining. Another one was my time. God is the God of time. Man has become enslaved to time. Are you enslaved to time? How do you know if you're enslaved to time? How do you know if time has mastered you? When you say the phrase, I just don't have time. I just don't have time. I don't have time to do that. What is that? Perhaps during this 40 days, you can toss time in God's lap and ask him how he wants you to spend your time wisely for his glory, including your to-do list, because God cares about what we care about. So you bring that before him. And you look for opportunities for pause, mini retreats, so to speak, as you walk through your day. For me, when I brought this before the Lord, midday prayer came into my mind when I asked the Lord, how do you want me to make you the master of my time? And usually midday, sometimes I'll even work through lunch. And the Holy Spirit's inviting me into a place of balance with God. So I'm going to be putting forth a midday prayer time, morning, midday, and evening. I'm just sharing with you what the Lord has brought to my heart, because God has specific plans for you. He knows where you're at. He knows what has enslaved you and mastered you. Anything that's mastered you also creates increased stress in your body. And in John 10:10, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill your sense of self-worth, value, sense of empowerment, accountability. Steal your ability to hear the voice of God. And destroy your desire to spend time with God. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Lent is an incredible opportunity to take back that power and step into the second part of that verse in John 10:10. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I, Christ says, have come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Lent is an opportunity to reclaim the life that God has for you through Christ that has gotten snuffed out by what has mastered us. My invitation to you today is to really spend some time before the Lord and asking him, what behaviors do you want me to give up, to put off, to make more time for intimacy with you these next 40 days? What do you want me to do? And then lean into the prayer of Samuel in 1 Samuel, where Samuel was given to Eli from Hannah because Hannah was barren. And she prayed to the Lord, if you bless me with a son, I will dedicate him to you. So that's how Samuel got dedicated to Eli. What's interesting is he began to hear the voice of God when he was very young. And he ran to Eli thinking that it was Eli that was calling his name in the middle of the night. And it was actually God. God is calling you personally. During these next 40 days, how do you want to respond to that calling? What do you want to do in order to carve out time to hear the calling, the voice of God, to be able to even sit and hear and respond with the same prayer that Samuel said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Your servant is listening. And as I mentioned in the last podcast, I learned this from Peter Kreft, but it's one thing that I'm continually bringing forward. He mentioned in an exquisite podcast on the one thing needed, being sitting before God, sitting before Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit, and asking, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to say on this call? What do you want me to spend my time thinking about today, in my thoughts, my emotions? How do you want me to respond to life? And he had mentioned three things that were pretty profound, said that when you speak to an infant, you do most of the talking. When you speak to an equal, it's probably pretty well divided between sender and receiver, back and forth. When you speak to a very wise person, you do most of the listening. And the wise person does most of the talking, typically, because you want to learn. If I was sitting with Mother Teresa, I would simply just sit and just say, teach me something that I'm forgetting. How much greater when we sit before Jesus should our listening skills be, our posturing for listening? Teach me, Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Lent is an incredible time. These 40 days is to up our listening skills. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Just ask the question and listen. And imagine what the Lord might say to you. Sometimes that opens up the portal of being able to hear the wisdom of God. I imagine in this situation that Jesus would say this to me. The more you read the scripture, the more you're going to be able to imagine what Jesus might say, because the more familiar you will be with what he did say. And the Holy Spirit can bring that back to your awareness. And perhaps that's something to consider to do more of these 40 days, is to sit in the scriptures, learn about Jesus, start reading through the Gospels. What did Jesus say? What's interesting in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. Now, I've read this many times, and what really stood out to me this time is verse 19. It says, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. What does that mean? As I prayed on this, it really became clear to me that God is very, very intricately involved with the words that we speak. And when we are linked to him, as in John chapter 15, remain in the vine and remain in me and I remain in you. When we are remaining in the vine and we allow that life force from Christ to come out through our heart, out of our mouth, then none of our words will fall to the ground, meaning they will have power, influence, inspiration, the ability to transform lives. They won't fall to the ground, but they will accomplish the purpose for which they're sent from that connection with the vine. When we're disconnected, which is beginning of Lent is just an awesome time to come before the Lord. Show me where I've disconnected from you in my behavior. And as the Lord reveals that, you can see that your words fall to the ground. They don't have any power to influence, to edify, to inspire, because they're disconnected from the source of life itself. You have a choice this Lent to lean into the experience of activating the power of Christ within you and allowing that life force of Christ within you to flow out into your behavior and your choices, how you spend your time, how you choose what behaviors you choose in different situations. So coming back to that coaching question for you today, what has mastered you? Again, you know that something's mastered you when you say phrases like, I just can't help myself. I just can't help it. It keeps happening. Begin again with the Lord. That's the cool thing. His mercies are new every morning. So bring to him your 2 fish and 5 loaves today. And be attentive to where he's calling you these next 40 days. Be with him as he was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And he encountered the dark side. We encounter, when we're attentive, we encounter the shadow side of ourselves, the side, the parts of us that Jesus desires to prune us from, invites us to die to, so that we can experience the life of abundance that he desires to give us on a daily basis, and the peace that passes all human understanding. Begins with us, with self-reflection. So that's the first step, is simply finding the time to sit before the Lord and ask him, what has enslaved me? What has mastered me? Show me what has mastered me. I know that something's mastered me because I will say I can't help myself. I'll also know that something's mastered me when I can't pull away from it, when it controls me, whatever it is, versus I controlling it through the power of Christ. When I find myself compromising my values, something's mastered me, what I value most in life. When I'm unable to keep balance with what I value most, and so therefore I will continue to stay attached to something, some behavior, over what I truly value in life. For example, if you highly value your relationships, and yet you've constantly find yourself when you're in the presence of people you love on your iPhone or checking messages, then there's a fracture there between your behavior and what you value most. And you've been mastered. You've been enslaved. So that first step of examination of consciousness, examination, ask the Holy Spirit to come in. It's a beautiful, beautiful process, because in the process of Jesus showing you these things, he's also going to be backing up with a lot of love and letting you know, just like complaining for me, he's letting me know, Lauren, you'll be a lighter version of yourself if you give this up. And you'll be more effective to be my disciple if you consciously give this up. Now, yesterday was my first day, and I can tell you, it was definitely difficult at times, and something slipped out of my mouth. I'm like, whoops, that's a complaint. And I'll feel it come right up and bump up against my lips, wanting to spill out. And at times I just kept my lips quiet, and I turned that into a prayer. That's the whole purpose of Lent, is to be able to, when you're resisting and you're fasting from certain things, that you use that moment to flip from the impulse into prayer. So it draws you closer to your relationship with Christ. So take some time to get some clarity of focus for accuracy of response around that. Now, I mentioned the iPhone, because the iPhone and the electronic world can be used very often, and you've seen this. My husband and I have been at restaurants where we'll look around at the different tables, and people would be sitting at the table on their iPhones. We've done that, totally guilty. And we'll make excuses for that. That's the other thing that happens when something's mastered you. You will guard it like you're precious, from Gollum in the cave clinging to the ring, Tolkien Lord of the Rings. My precious. I just have to answer this one email. I just have to send this one text. It's your precious. So what's your precious? That's what Jesus is calling you to lay down at his feet these next 40 days so that you could be free. That's the end result. A lighter version of you, more effective for God's kingdom. Take some time to really lean into that discovery of what you are attached to. And perhaps it is the iPhone. Now, I mentioned in the beginning of this podcast, I'd share two conditions that's come up in the last decade. One of them is called digital dementia. I wrote an article about digital dementia several years ago, and it's still very, very much rampant in our society. Basically, digital dementia is what they are finding is the left brain is more developed than the right hemisphere of the brain. This is what is referred to as digital dementia. The ramifications of this is less of a desire to connect, less of a desire to have a relationship, to show up in a relationship, to communicate, to listen, to engage. Can you imagine if you woke up tomorrow and there were no electronics? That's what I grew up with. Perhaps you have too. We had the phone. We had there was a big day when the answering machine came out. God meets us where we're at. So we have all these advancements, right, that can create incredible opportunities to connect with people we love whenever we want. Be very careful, though, because these shiny objects can be used and twisted, just as they have been, to rob us of the fullness of life that Christ died to give us. Digital dementia. It's a condition that is rampant in our society. You can do your own research on it, or you can Google Lauren E. Miller, digital dementia, and the article will come up that I wrote on it. It's an incredible testimony to a ramification of an attachment, a shiny object that's mastered us. And it's a negative ramification. In fact, it's so powerful that some school systems have put off putting computers in kindergarten, first and second grade classrooms because of the development of the brain. Perhaps this is why we've seen a decline in dating in high school. It's friend groups. The left hemisphere is driving the behavior versus the right hemisphere, which is connectivity, relationships, creativity as well as sustained thought. So something to look into and keep in mind. The other one is a phobia, and it's called nomophobia, and it's a phobia that's recently popped up. It's a condition, an anxiety disorder that's popped up. I wrote an article on that as well, nomophobia. And it occurs when the phone is away from you more than 10 feet, more than 8 feet sometimes. You're not able to continually check that dopamine loop of the dings, pings, and emails and obsessive compulsive behaviors of needing to keep all your emails clean, right? That get in the middle of you and your relationships. Something to keep watch for, though. Digital dementia and nomophobia, the anxiety disorder. The solution? Perhaps that's something the Lord's going to ask you to give up. 6 o'clock, all the phones go in the family basket. We don't pick them up until we've connected with God in the morning. The iPhones, particularly too, you be the boss of your iPhone. Don't let your iPhone be the boss of you. So what behavior is the Lord asking you to release to make more room for intimacy with him these next 40 days around electronics? Now, let's move from electronics to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. Swinging back here, put to death in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. This is what Lent is, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's putting to death what belongs to our earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. This is, your memory verse for Lent. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Rid yourselves of all such things as these. If you have a pen, pull it out and write these down. I'm going to give you a deeper understanding of each one of them. As I'm reading through these, notice and observe which one you can relate to the most, which one you see showing up in your life, because this is part of the discernment process of releasing and putting off for these next 40 days behavior that has enslaved you, behavior that's become the master of you. The first one, rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger. Are you mastered by anger? The definition of anger is a strong feeling of annoyance. You can even put frustration in there, deep, deep frustration that is irritating to you, displeasure, hostility. Perhaps it's anger that is going to be your focus this Lent, and replacing it, erasing and replacing it with the presence of Christ in prayer, looking up scriptures about anger, praying those scriptures into your life. The second one is rage. Rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage. Now, rage walks hand in hand with anger. It's a violent, uncontrollable anger. It spills out all over the place. We're seeing it quite a bit on social media. And it shows up in ugly talk, judgment, rage. Interesting point to make here with anger and rage. The next time you're angry, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Most all of anger can be traced back to a fear. You're afraid you're not going to be liked, right, understood. What is the fear for you? So moving forward, take note. Next time I'm angry, I'm going to ask myself, what am I afraid of? Once you strip away the pomp and outward expression of uncontrollable hostility, and you get back to that very vulnerable place of what's really going on here, that's another coaching question you can ask yourself. What's really going on here? What's this about? And you identify the fear, then you're in a place to be transformed, because you're in a place, as Jesus said when he spoke about the two people that went into the church. One went into the front of the church and said, thank you that I'm not like all these other people. And then there was the humble man in the back saying, I've sinned, help me. Once you get to that vulnerable place, you can hit your knees. I need help. During this Lent, I want to prune this behavior, this reactive response out of my life. Help me. Show me what that's going to look like. The third one is malice. Rid yourself of all such things as anger, rage, and malice. Now, malice is an intention or desire to do evil. Do you have an intention or desire to do evil? Now, your first response might be, no, I don't want to do evil. Let's peel this back a little bit and see if you can recognize yourself at all. So evil is wickedness. The definition of wicked, to be wicked, is actually a state of being, wickedness, a mental disregard for justice, righteousness, truth, honor, virtue. It's evil in thought and life. It's depravity, sinfulness, criminality, goes so far as criminality. So going back to the first part of this definition, to put away malice or an intention or desire to do evil, this is something that God's really convicted my heart on, because I always looked over malice. I'm like, that's not an issue for me. And perhaps you might say that as well. And I invite you to just, it may not be, just bring that before the Lord. Lord, am I enslaved by malice? And that's that emotion that shows up where you actually want to see people who have hurt you hurt, or you want to see people who don't do things the way you want them to be done or don't have your positionality, something bad to happen to them. This is malice. This is an intention or a desire to do evil. It's a state, a mental state of disregard for justice, for righteousness, the definition of righteousness is to be right with God. So anytime that you are not right with God, it's easy to fall into this place and compromise truth and honor and virtue in your life. Look up the definition of wicked and see if you recognize yourself at all. If you do, bring it to the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to prune and to rid yourselves up of during these next 40 days. And it's definitely takes the work of the Holy Spirit. Fourth one is slander. This goes without saying. This creates offense, taking offense. When there's slander, you have offense. Offense, the etymology behind the word offense is scandalon. Scandalon is the piece of the trap that holds the meat that catches you. So it's one of the devil's greatest tricks. It's like he's a fly fisherman. I'm a fly fisherwoman, so I love fly fishing. And you throw your bait out there, right? Or you throw your line out there, and it's a fake fly. It's fake, but it looks like it's real, right? So you bite it, the fish bites it, and then you catch the fish, right? You either eat the fish or you release the fish. Satan's doing that to us all day long. Slander throws it out there. You get triggered. So therefore, you have a false or damaging statement about someone else because you're hurt. Again, this all comes back to feelings of pain and hurt. And you end up saying ugly talk, and filthy language is the next one will come out of your mouth. So you have anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, which is ugly talk and gossip that comes from slandering, false and damaging statements about someone. So just to pause here and ask you a coaching question. When was the last time that you said a damaging statement about someone? How often do you make slandering statements or false statements or damaging statements about someone? Perhaps slander and filthy language or ugly talk and gossip are some areas that the Holy Spirit is inviting you to be freed from. Actually, when someone is slandering another human being, it actually shrinks the brain. It falls into the category of complaining, right? It shrinks something called the hippocampus in the brain. And you are less apt or able to focus on solutions. You take things personally here, and you compromise what you value most quickly when you're in that space. So watch out for that slander, that filthy language. Now, I also want to bring it in towards yourself. Ugly self-talk. Perhaps you slander yourself, or you should all over yourself. I should have done that. I shouldn't have done this. Perhaps the Lord's going to invite you these next 40 days to really rid yourself of negative self-talk and erase and replace. When a negative self-talk phrase, Satan plants it in your mind, talk back to it. No, that's not true. God adores me. God loves me. He can help me find a solution. And it's not failure. It's just an undesirable outcome. It's not a big problem. It's just a solution that requires my attention for, it's a situation that requires my attention for solution. So you talk back to the negative thought negative self-talk. Finally, is judgmental. Judgmental statements. Therefore, rid yourselves, chosen people, holy and dearly loved by God. Rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. You can add judgmental statements to that, because filthy language comes from judgment. It walks hand in hand. What does it mean to be judgmental? It means to be fault-finding, to be critical excessively. Eager to find fault. Are you eager to find fault with other people? We're seeing a lot of this out on social media today. And as much as we have the protection of the screen, God sees everything, and we're told that we will be accountable for every thoughtless word spoken. I don't know about you, but that literally has kept me up at night before. Judgmental statements, a critical, excessively critical positionality, fault finding, eager to find fault in yourself or other people. Again, these go to yourself as well. Are you being critical toward yourself? I had a vision the other day when I was in prayer that was really powerful, when I was asking God to show me what he wanted me to release myself from. And one of them was camping in front of past faults from the past. Perhaps you can relate to that. Perhaps there's behavior or things that you've done in the past that haunt you, because Satan's biggest thing is to keep it in front of your attention. It's, you know, the false fly that you cast out there on the stream, and you bite it again and again, and you keep getting hooked. You keep getting hooked again and again. So I was bringing this before the Lord, and I was just saying, Lord, help me to know that you have forgiven me for every thoughtless word spoken, that you have forgiven me for every behavior that was based in slander or malice or rage or anger. Help me to know that your blood is enough, really. And then I sat with this and I just said Samuel's prayer, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And the most amazing imagery came up in my mind of all of these images from my past that I've continued to focus on from time to time. I should have done better. Why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And each one of them was basically a big whiteboard or canvas picture of that event that I continually beat myself up over, or events that I'll beat myself up over with. And I saw this huge angel, guardian angel, with a bucket filled with Christ's blood. And the angel was throwing the bucket of Christ's blood over all of these images. And I was standing there in awe. In fact, this image, I burst out in tears crying, because it was so profound for me. And I watched as the blood of Christ covered all of those past regrets or behaviors that I've confessed and Jesus has forgiven me from. And I watched the blood of Christ dry over those images so I could not see them anymore. And that's the firewall, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that is unbreakable. I can't see those images anymore. I see the blood of Christ. What images do you have that during this Lent you want to see your guardian angel throw a bucket of Christ's blood on, so that you see the blood of Christ? Just as Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, because of his simple desire to be forgiven and set free. Just takes that small intention to unleash that bucket of Christ's blood so that it dries over and you will never see again that image that haunts you or regrets from the past. This is what Lent's about. It's a beautiful opportunity for freedom to grow closer to Christ. So we have two invitations here in Colossians chapter 3. Put off or rid yourselves, as Paul says, rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips, and lying. Perhaps lying is something. Half-truths. We lie because we're afraid. Every time you lie or stretch the truth, you're afraid you won't get what you want. You're afraid of what someone might think of you or say, and you're afraid that you won't be able to move forward in a situation. So lying is the path of least resistance. Then I'll be able to do what I want. All come from ego and self-focus. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. So you're being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of your creator. Do you want to participate with that? Would you like to intentionally participate for 40 days? Participate in the knowledge, in the image of your creator. Lord, help us to remember whose we are, why we're here, why you died for us. And Paul says in verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. So the first part in chapter 3 is rid yourselves, and then clothe yourselves. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Lent is all about restoration and resurrection. Restoring you to whose you are, your identity, by your spiritual connection with the lover of your soul. Resurrecting your identity in Christ. Who am I? Why am I here? Why does it matter? That spills into your beliefs. What you believe is possible. What you believe your purpose is in every relationship. That flows into your capabilities. Do you believe you can or you can't? God does. Which flows into your behavior, which ultimately flows out into your environment where what you do happens. So Lent is an opportunity to go up to the top of that flow, the spiritual connection with God, the lover of your soul. And it's cascades down like an inverted iceberg from your spirit, identity, beliefs, capability, behavior, environment, where what you do happens. Paul does a beautiful job of breaking it down into two choices, two actions. Rid yourselves of this, put on this. Rid yourself of these, put on that. So my invitation to you and to myself as we enter this Lenten experience to grow closer to Christ and to become more like Christ is to reflect on what has enslaved you, what's mastering you, anger, ultimately fueled by fear, rage, malice, intention or desire to do evil, or disregard for justice or truth or honor, slander, filthy language, ugly talk, gossip, lying, judgment. The Holy Spirit knows. He loves you so much. So he carries you into that dark shadow. You're not alone in those dark shadows. And he desires to free you from that dark shadow. Are you willing to go? Are you willing to rid yourself, to let go of your grip, your precious, these next 40 days? So that you can enter into the rest of God, acknowledging that, yes, in fact, you chose me, Lord, holy and dearly loved. You've clothed me with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You've given me the ability to forgive and to love. Remind my mind that this is possible. Sweet Jesus, we come to you today and we toss this all into your lap. First and foremost, show us what has enslaved us specifically. Help us to really pinpoint what has enslaved us. And then give us the grace and desire to put off what has enslaved us and to put on humility, kindness, gentleness, patience, to fill that space up as a result of letting go of that shiny object, that trinket that has mastered us, so that we can experience that inner peace and connection with you. More today than yesterday, Lord. We are your ambassadors. Make your appeal through us. Thank you for your profound love for us today, that in spite of any image that we have from our past, that your blood has been shed and spilled over those images. It's the ultimate firewall from being hacked from our identity in you. Now moving forward, we give you permission to help us to have the grace to release the past and to stay present to your mighty work within us today. Show us the behaviors you want us to do less of and what you want us to do more of this Lent to create more space for that intimate whisper. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Speak to us, Lord. Show us where we're stuck. Give us the grace to rid ourselves of those attachments that have mastered us so that we can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. At the end of these 40 days, Lord, we desire to be a lighter version of ourselves in you, to let go of the need to be right, liked, understood, to let go of the behaviors that cause us to be triggered, that lead us to saying we can't help ourselves. Help us to rid ourselves from even putting those things in front of ourselves, but to create firewalls by the power of your Holy Spirit and your blood so that we can keep our eyes fixed on you. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give them, have them out there. There's enough of the dark side going on. I invite you to reflect on today's podcast. If you didn't have a pen and pen and paper in hand, go back, re-listen to this. This sets up your 40 days of intimacy with Christ so that you can right up front call out the devil's tactics and his desire to thwart the mighty work of God in your life. You're the landlord of your minds. You have the God-given ability to take every thought captive, which leads to intentional behavior to release what has mastered you so that you can walk and not grow weary, run and not faint as the Lord guides you into his mighty work today. The Lord desires more of you today, more of your attention, more of your presence, so that he can do even mightier works in your life today than yesterday. Join us at Edge God In Podcast. You can also join our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page. Edge God In is the name of our Facebook page. You can also join our podcast on your podcast app on your phone. So if you're going to use your shiny objects, use it to edify your mind in Christ. Rather than checking social media, put on the Bible app. Have it play in your mind constantly to renew your mind. Listen to Edge God In podcasts to champion your human potential in Christ. What the devil means for evil, you can flip for good. And it comes from your choice of your behavior. So join us on the podcast app. It's Edge God In. You can join our podcast that way, or you can go to edgegodin.com. You'll see all of our podcasts there, as well as the scriptures and some notes under each podcast at edgegodin.com. Enjoy your gift of life today and know that God adores you and sees you for who you desire to be. Let us offer the same grace to those around us.